deserve a drive. So, welcome, thank you for coming. We are, let me just make sure, has everybody signed in on the sign-in sheet?
Yep.
If you need to, there is the restrooms in the...
All the way in the back.
Back of the warehouse.
Warehouse.
I guess we would call it. Kind of the purpose that we are here, we're here to review the bid requirements and the project specifications for this project. This project is being bid through our fine gentleman here with Division One. However, it is a Division of Aviation project. So you will have different players within this project, including myself. AFCON, here is James Moose and Marty Nguyen. They are gonna handle some of our contracting side of it. And then we have Paul Rogers here, he's KPR. Paul handles all of our spam contracts, and he would be a player in here, and he will be the RPR for the Division of Aviation. And then we have Mr. Mark Seaman. He is with the National Park Service. This is a National Park Service airport. So they are technically the landlord, but the Division of Aviation does have a memorandum of understanding with the National Park Service, which allows us to handle this rehab project. So that's kind of a little bit of a quick background on it.
Yeah.
Do you guys wanna
introduce yourselves? I'm Mark Winslow, I'm the Division One's contracts engineer, so I help Kristen get this thing advertised.
Chris Lackner, the Division Planning Engineer.
David Ott, the Division Construction Engineer, and again, I know we'll be administering this, but if they need help with high cams, you know, that sort of thing, we'll be there for them.
And we appreciate that for them. Because from what I've understood, the Division of Aviation doesn't necessarily have a mechanism to handle these kind of projects overall. So,
As far as the contractors, who do we have with us today?
Dustin Faulkner, Barnhill Contracting.
Aaron Akers, Barnhill Contracting.
Riley Parker, Fred Smith Company.
Okay, thank y'all for coming. We down to number three already?
Down to number two. So, project.
Yep.
Okay.
So, just want to quickly go through the scope of the project. So, with airports, we typically have to follow some sort of federal guideline, federal requirement specifications. But because of the contract mechanism we're using right now, going through DOT, we've also got to meet some of their requirements. So, right now, there are some provisions in there. I think it's A1 and on that covers any of the federal requirements in the specifications. There's some supplemental items that are included in there. We are making some changes to the NCDOT specs just to clarify what we're actually need to happen at the airport. There's some quantities, some things like that. So definitely make sure you're looking through that section, because it does make changes to some of the DOT specifications. But the project itself is we're looking to mill and fill the runway, apron area, and there's a little parking area adjacent to it. We do have two bidding options. One is the base bid, and that is we're milling 2 inches essentially, and then repaving. There is some crack seals, some tie downs, some other items that will be completed by the SPAM program with the KPR's group. The option one, do we call it option one?
Just option? Well, it's just an option.
It's almost like an alternative bid. We think there is value in not leaving any of the asphalt there. So it would be to move all of the asphalt and then repave back. That would avoid any of the crack seal and some of the other items that have to be done. But we're also cognizant of there is a pretty big haul down there. So that's why there are a base bid and an option. We would like to make sure you guys put prices in for both so that we can get fair pricing on one of those. I don't know that we have set what we're... how it's going to be awarded, but if, again, the option is the more valuable to the airport based on the price, We would award that, but again, funding is limited, so that's why we do have that base bid option.
Is there more time going to be added for the option?
Right now, we've got both of them set for 75 days.
Okay. That's a concern we would have.
Okay.
Going with the option is the timeline.
Okay. We can definitely go back and relook at the time frame.
So the actual award of the project will be based on the base bid, typical items that you would see in Bid Express. This is what you're bidding on.
Okay.
The option of the supplemental items here would be the adjustments that would be needed to go from the mill and fill of the main runway to the full depth and whatnot. So, okay. And again, that will not be included in on the award of the contract. We're going to be based on this. Whoever the low bidder is for these items, then Aviation's going to have to look at it to see whether they can afford to go this route, okay? I know it's kind of a little confusing with this. They initially presented this as like one set of plans, but two separate options. We really didn't have a way to go through the electronic bidding process like that. Anyway, this is what we were suggested out of Raleigh to go with, advertise what they can afford, and then have in here a supplemental agreement option with you providing the cost for that. So
we would hand deliver that supplemental then?
No, actually,
that's an
We were told that you can upload this in Bid Express.
As a form or something?
As a form, as an attachment.
It can be done on the backside according to Jackie and all.
Yeah.
We'll do that a couple days beforehand to make sure.
Right. Yes, right. I was going to suggest that. Yeah. Don't wait till the last minute. Yep. I did have one of your coworkers look into that because I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be telling y'all something that could not be done. And he poked around on it a little bit and kind of figured it out that it can be done, okay? So.
Any other questions on the scope of work?
We'll have more.
Okay. I think I've worked with both of y'all's companies in different areas, but y'all both worked at airports.
That's good.
So really the one thing with coordination for if we go with the base bid that requires the crack sealing, the coordination would be handled through myself and Paul Rogers or whoever with Paul's team that would be there.
So what is actually being crack sealed? Is it, you know, can you explain to us exactly what part of the runway is it?
So right now, with the cracks that we've seen in the runway, we do expect to see them in the lower sections of the once we mill. So it would be KPR and the SPAM program coming in and actually sealing the cracks that are there.
After the milling?
It would have to be after milling.
Okay. All right.
Have you talked to... Oh, I'm sorry.
So I think the goal for the Division of Aviation is to keep the project as affordable through this process by... perhaps having that done through our means that are fairly efficient through the existing Division Aviation contract.
And the contractors that we have an on-call contract with three different companies. We're constantly keeping them busy. So they're comfortable in the work environment. They know what to expect.
Yeah, and it would be someone you guys have worked with on other aerial projects, the names, the big ones in the state. So.
Yeah, it would. We'd probably, based on what we see, determine, you know, timing-wise, who we send out there, if we could send multiples, depending on the project, you know, we would do it in a way that we could make it least impactful as possible. Right, because it's our goal as well to try to get this project done. So the other portion of the SPAM work would not truly affect you guys because it would be once you guys are done paving, we'll come back in. So it'd be a coordination of, hey, you know, can we start painting in different areas or can we start putting tie downs in? So that way there, we can try to, the goal would be to reopen the airport not much later than you guys are finished. So, but that portion is just a, hey, we're done with this portion. You guys can have at it. Okay, now.
So I don't want to just be negative this meeting, but we have a lot of trouble with freshly applied crack seal bleeding back up through hot asphalt. Have you talked to any of these manufacturers of the product to make sure that we can indeed mill, crack seal, and fill back on top of it?
It's something we're definitely concerned about. We talked about doing a little bit of a mastic, not a mastic, a geotextile or something over the top of it. But I'm hoping that on our runway that we don't have a whole lot of this. The biggest concern is the apron. We've got reflective cracking coming up through a CTP. Things go well, we won't do any crack sealing. I think it's the hope. But the project needs to move forward, and so we have a lot of flexibility inside that contract to do different things. And so, how exactly we crack seal is probably going to be dependent on what's there. I suspect that the ramp is going to be a very different animal than what's on the runway. Okay. And something that AVCON and DOA and even Division One. We will take all the input we can get to try to at least impact it. But yes, that is something that's in the forefront is the hump from going over a mastic or crack seal.
Marty, I don't remember us doing it on Plymouth. We had any crack seal. But what we've done in Elizabeth City with the runway and taxiways, we've grouted out the existing cracks or what's left in them. We've done sand asphalt over the top of it. Fill in the void, and then come right over top of it with the P41, in this case the 9.5C. That has seemed to work on those jobs, but we've had the same concern in the past of getting right back on top of it with crack seal. We've run into that quite a bit.
Even some of those projects, we're seeing what looks like almost like alligator cracking, teeth cracking along that seam directly below it. Just finished a bunch of the PCIs, and so. It's probably not a great solution, but hopefully we can do the whole pavement profile.
Okay. And if you got a minute, we might talk a little bit after this meeting, because I know that's being done coordinated with, but outside of that contract, so I don't need to bore them with a whole lot of it. Yeah. But I do have some other alternatives that you may find better. We've had good luck with in Division One, so. But mastic has treated us a lot worse than crack seal. And crack seal is hit or miss. Mastic has been nearly 100% of the time it's come back through.
If it's still egregious in the ramp up, I would still be inclined to do something flexible. Okay. Versus mastic. I'm with you there. We hate to use it, but we only use it when we have to.
Gotcha.
Date of availability, we set a floating date as early as August 3rd, as late as September 14th. National Park Service would like to try to get as much of a idea of a heads up of start time so that they can advise any users that, hey, their biggest thing is they know that there's a lot of users that plan their vacations around these airports, and so the earlier we can have a general idea of closing, the better, so that they can get notices out to their users. Notice to proceed starts contract time. Once notice of proceed is issued, you're expected to start within 10 days. There are a couple of documents that will be required to be submitted prior to notice to proceed can be issued. And then completion date, 75 days.
And this is a 7-day work week job?
Yes. Contract, it says 7 days a week, sunrise to sunset. Obviously, unfortunately, with the timing, we're starting to get shorter days by that time around, but yeah, sunrise, sunset.
And I just assume it's already funded, so you don't have to wait after the job, after
correct.
The project's bid.
This project's been about 8 years in the making.
I just asked.
We're just happy to be here today.
So this is a project that NCDOT Division of Aviation started quite some time ago, and I started with them in August, and it got dumped on me. So. So forgive me, I am an aviation person. So that's why I have all these wonderful, smart people that are surrounding me that can answer most of your questions. So with that, Mark, it is number three.
All righty, I'm just going to touch on some of the provisions and some of the information that is in the proposal. Again, this is an NCDOT front part of the proposal here. So the bid date and time of the opening is June 17th, 2026 at 2 p.m. Of course, this DA number 00681. It is a state-funded project. The location is the Billy Mitchell Airport in Hatteras. And as we noted, it's the runway pavement rehab project. The bid bond is required along with as normal. I want to touch on a few things here on the instructions to bidders. It has been modified. That one and two is standard procedure here as far as downloading the proposal. The interested parties list is required on this, so you do need to sign up on the project. Of course, there is electronic bidding through the Bid Express. Note number four was added in there for this optional bid form that we have already spoke upon. Five and six is just normal procedures here. If you do have any questions, please note that you need to email them to me within 7 days of the project. And I will in turn take that email and forward it probably to some of these other folks that can help out if it's actually dealing with the actual rehab itself. Page G1, we're talking about the mandatory pre-bid conference that we're here today. I think everyone has noted that they have signed up on the list, so that is check off on that. Moving ahead to page G2, the top, the initial information up here, the bid submissions, scope of work, and supplemental agreements. It's just kind of laying the groundwork for what we've already talked about the DOT having that option of doing a supplemental agreement and that you need to submit that form in so we can evaluate that early on the aviation can decide which route they want to go so we can let y'all know which route we're going to go with the project, okay? If we do elect to go with the supplemental agreement option there, then we'll start working on that agreement to have that in place so y'all will know and have all the signatures that everybody needs and all that so, you know, y'all can get kicked off on the right foot. Please note that the bid's over the limit. This is a division let project. We're only limited to $5 million. Division let contract pre-qualifications, you do need to be a bidder or a PO prime. I think y'all check those boxes too. Bonding requirements, the contract payment and performance bonds are required for this. It's like a normal project. Again, we've already touched on the contract time and liquidated damages. We do have a floating date of availability in here, and then I've modified the rest of it, the other two paragraphs, to point you in the back of the contract here or the proposal for the information about the contract time and the liquidated damages. Page G5, the minority business enterprise, women business enterprise. This is a there is no MBE, WBE goal for this project. Again, we're going to touch on the section A1 shortly. I do want to make a note about a plan strike through that we need to do. So when we did modify the plans there at the last minute to kind of flip things around the way we were going to advertise it, on page GP0.01, phasing notes, number two, it says for bid alternate work. The alternate needs to be struck through on that. That's going to be for the base bid is where you're going to have to deal with the crack repair, crack ceiling repair. So the bid alternate needs to be struck through. Okay. And again, the this sheet was modified based on our advertisement process here, okay? I think that's it for me.
So for the, kind of going to number four, we do have that A section. Just wanted to highlight that again. It does cover all of the standard FAA requirements that we have and several special provisions that do change some of the NCDOT specifications. So please make sure you review all of those or familiar what the changes require. Moving into the other important considerations, coordination will be through the Division Aviation. Right now, it's planned that either myself or Marty Wynn will handle just day-to-day construction admin, and then Paul and his group, KPR, will handle any of the inspection and coordination with the SPAM contractors for the crack seal, marking, and tie-downs, any of the other items that we've shown it by others. We do have to have a required notice to close the airport. That will be done through MARC and the National Park Service. It will be important soon after award that we do get a schedule from you guys so that we can, like was kind of explained, all the people that we're coordinating with, especially the users, we need to start coordinating that as soon as possible. And that's something that we, as soon as it's awarded, we can start working with you guys on what's a reasonable schedule, when can you get out there, and then what we need to start doing on our end. So there are some safety and security requirements for the airport. We are closing the airport for the entire duration. However, there is a gate, there is a building on site. So once we do close it down, just need to make sure you guys are maintaining security. There is a gate. You guys are not using it, it needs to be closed and locked. If you guys see anybody that's out there that shouldn't be out there, you notify somebody, see something, say something. While the airport is closed, it is considered a restricted site. It is a National Park Service, it is federal property, so make sure you're following all those rules and regulations around that. And then I don't think there's any work hour restrictions.
Daylight hours.
Daylight hours, okay.
National Park Service will be providing the closure markers, correct?
For closing the access and everything?
Yeah.
Yep, we have them on site.
So they will provide those. And like some coordination, you know, if needed for National Park Service issues, we're going to go through MARC.
Being federal property, is it everybody need to have real ID to get on the site?
There's no badging or security policy for that.
Okay.
It's just going to be for you guys to maintain the safety and security on the site.
And then the other thing, but if you're familiar with working in airports, even though it is a fully closed, 100% closed airport, you'll always still want to be monitoring frequencies to make sure you don't have the rogue pilot that forgets to check NOTAMs.
Yep.
NOTAMs would be coordinated through MARC and the division, so that would not be something you would need to worry about. But, you know, pilots sometimes forget to do their pre-flight checklist, so that would always be a consideration that you need to have radios on site to listen to. We already talked about 7 days a week, sunrise to sunset. Everything within that, it comes down to any other questions that you gentlemen might have.
Sure. Removal of the tie-down anchors on the plans, really specify, but is that the contractor's responsibility to take up the old tie-downs instead of to give it to the RPR for future reuse or salvage? Is that on us to remove all those and salvage them?
I think it was a note on the plans that it was going to be the contractor's responsibility to remove it, but the installation will be by others.
Okay. So we'll remove them and put the ABC back in the holes. Is that going to be paid at the cubic yard price for the ABC?
Well, how
bed items are that incidental?
How deep are these anchors in?
I don't know which types are actually in, but they can go pretty deep.
Yep.
We'll clarify that.
I think they're pretty serious anchors out there.
I mean, especially the old ones used to go down at 10 feet with that anchor thing.
What I remember seeing is they're
not, I don't know if you can do it the same.
They're not cheap ones, I don't think. So I think they're going to be a significant number.
Which is one of our big questions is we're going to patch it back with ABC per the plans, but is that pay incidental to mobilization or is that paid under the contract item for aggregate base force? Just how is that going to be measured and paid?
We'll clarify that.
Patch that back up. There was also a note for the subgrade stabilization, if required, if we have to do any undercut. You mentioned shallow undercut. There's no dimension shown that I saw for shallow undercut. So do we figure 2 foot for that? Is it?
I believe it's going to have to be field verified. I don't know that we've set a minimum for that. I can clarify that as well, but
that's going to be a problem on our end estimating because it's a square yard panel. So
okay.
The depth matters to us going in bid time.
Okay.
I would recommend we have a lead. Even if you just guess it's 2 foot, that's something for us to work out in the field if it does go to 3 foot or further. And then, contract time, that's the only thing that we'll do what's required.
So you want less time? Is that what you're asking?
That's hurricane season, and if we're pulverizing concrete and rolling it in and hoping the subgrade's good, hurricane season down there, that's just a little iffy. So
kind of speaking to that, that was actually something we were talking about right before this meeting. We will probably clarify if there's any items that happen outside of your control, we would not hold y'all responsible for that contract time. Whether it's a hurricane, it takes longer to get one of the spam guys out there for some reason.
Sure.
Again, we're gonna expedite every part of this to help you guys stay on schedule. But if there is anything that is outside of your control, we will not penalize you for that.
Yeah, the only spam item that I would think is a crack seal if we decide to do something. That's the only schedule impact. The rest is tie down anchors and paint. That's outside. We should be done by then, so that shouldn't impact our time. Correct, so it's the only thing that we have worked through.
I'm not sure, Dustin, if you hit on that, but the full depth ops, is there a quantity, is there a depth for full depth specified?
Don't quote me on that. It is in the plans, but I think the full depth is closer to 4 inches, and it would just be removing all the asphalt that's there. So I believe that information on the existing conditions are in the plans. Any other questions?
Shuttle buggies required on everything we do out here as well, I think I read.
What?
Material transfer fee.
Oh, yeah, MTD.
That's one of the things for FAA. I'm not familiar if DOT requires an MTD.
Certain routes.
We require it on divided primary routes.
Okay.
But oftentimes, I mean, these guys will tell you too, when we're remote locations, we have serious conversations about it.
I just want to make sure it is included in everything. The cutting of the joints, like we do on typical airports, with the taxi lanes and the parking areas, I just want to make sure, because I don't know if he's done been a part of the aviation side of it, but typically the joint sits for 4 hours or pulls to, I think, 175 degrees. Required to cut it back. We try to get back 6 inches, 4 inches usually, cut back that joint and then re-tack it and pave with those aprons. And this all, that's why I was asking about the shuttle buggy, because that could slow down production and have to cut on every single one in those aprons, if there was any thought to take that out for the apron sections.
So that is a requirement for P401, but I don't believe it's a requirement for the state mix?
It is in the specs.
It is in the specs, okay.
It is in the specs, they've got it back if it cools to 175 or sits for 4 hours. If you can take that out, that'd be amazing.
Okay. Is that in the specs or is it in the plans?
The specs.
The specs.
I think that's in one of the A sections.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, so to reiterate a bit of what Mark said, bid opening is June 17th at 2 p.m. They have their call-in number. I think it's on.
It's on the invitation to bid.
It's on the agenda as well.
Yep.
Mark asked for any questions 7 days prior to letting date. If you want to do a site walkthrough, I have Mr. Mark Siemens' phone number on there. We kind of agreed. He is stationed right there at Billy Mitchell, but about a 48-hour notice ahead of time just to grant access. But it sounds like you guys are a bit more familiar with airports. It is an uncontrolled airport. Is the gate locked?
There's no lock on it. Generally speaking, if you've got a marked vehicle, it's anything. It looks official. The law enforcement's not going to give you any issues. They know this project is happening. I'll be down there if you can't give me a 48-hour notice. You know, we'll make it work.
We're probably going to head down there today after this.
Yeah.
Just to ride in. We may not ride the runway, but just to look at the apron. And
yeah.
Look at the sign
down. Take a look at it. I'm heading back down there. I can go with you. You can check it out.
Your contact number's on here?
Yep. Yes. Down there at the very bottom.
It's the last line on the agenda.
Perfect.
And if you have an airfield radio, I did not do my due diligence to look up the frequency.
2.9.
If you got any questions about the bid form or whatnot, you can reach out to me and see what I can do about helping you out on that. Okay.
Thank y'all.
No, thanks.
Thank
y'all
for coming. Appreciate it.
You don't have to sign out. Right? Thank you, Robbie.
Y'all could just tell Jason I left here crying.
What's this? Fred Smith.